Good morning, church. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. Always excited to be with God's people, worshiping God together, making much of His name. If you're a guest, welcome to First Baptist Church of Thibodaux. We always are excited to have guests with us. Let us know what we can do to help you, how we can pray for you. If you're looking for more information about this church, FBC Thibodaux, we would love to help you there. Just to make sure, leaders, after service, we will have a leadership meeting. So we're asking all the leaders to come. Church, pray for your leaders. So what we do here, we believe in leadership and team ministries, and we have leaders that are helping from nursery, changing diapers right now as we are here, like worshiping God. They're serving in there, and we have Lisa who's over that. We have our Awana leader, Sunday school leaders, Sunday school teachers, and Tony who's over the Sunday school department, and we have several others, like women's ministry, men's ministry, all of that. It takes people, right? And we are thankful for leaders, and pray for your leaders here in this church. And if you're looking to be a part of something, to serve in this local church, we would love to get you plugged in as members to serve. We believe here that we are not spectators. If you're saved and you're a member of the church, you're not a spectator, but you are a participator. You participate. So with that said, I am excited to dive in the Word of God with you. We're walking through the book of Hebrews, and we are in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 through 6. So when you've arrived to the text, say, Word. Word, can you please stand? We stand out of reverence to God's holy and righteous word. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commanded as having pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. But whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Amen. This is the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, we are here, God. We know, Father, that you are approved of us, not because of our works, but because of the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We see Enoch's faith. We see a man who was in love with God, a man who walked with God, a man who pleased God. So God, I pray that we can do the same here today. At First Baptist Church of Thibodaux, as we listen to your word, I pray that we can make much of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So God, teach us what we do not know, make us what we are not, and give us what we do not have. And God's people says, amen, amen. You may be seated. The title for today's sermon is simple, The Faith of Enoch. The Faith of Enoch. The comic Steve Martin once said, it is so hard to believe in anything anymore. I guess I wouldn't believe in anything if it were not for my lucky astrology mood watch. You see, no one believes in nothing. We got to believe in something. We got to believe in something. Even the atheist who says, well, God is not here, we don't believe in a God, they believe in something. They have to believe in something. Maybe they believe in themselves. But no one believes in nothing. Everyone has faith in something. The problem is the object of your faith. So Steve Martin, the object of his faith was his mood watch. The problem with that is when we are to stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we are to stand before God altogether for judgment, your mood watch, oh Steve Martin, will not stand. And maybe you're saying this morning, my faith is in myself. I'm not going to depend on anyone. I'm not going to depend on God or religion or any of this. It's me. But you are not strong enough to stand before the judgment of God. So what do you need? Your faith must be in an unmovable object. the strongest object in this world. And you might be asking, what is this? It is God. Who is it? It is God. Your faith must be in God, in God alone. This is the strength. This is the object of our faith, of the Christian faith. What we have here this morning is that we see in Hebrews chapter 11, every single one of the men and women mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the hero of faith, or you can call it the hall of faith, every single one of them, they had faith in God. The object of their faith was God. Friends, this morning I want you to see this here. He mentioned earlier on in chapter 11, as Tony preached that last week, the first hero of faith that he mentioned was Abel. And Abel exemplifies worshiping by faith. If you notice very carefully, as he mentioned about Abel, he brought an acceptable sacrifice to God as an act of worship. I can imagine that the Apostle Paul was thinking of Abel when he wrote Romans chapter 12, verse 1. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, here it is, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. So as Abel gave God the sacrifice as a sign of worshiping God, right? So the first thing about faith, and we must understand, it's about worshiping God. We worship God. And God gives us a gift of faith. The work that we begin to see in our life is a heart of worship. We make much of God. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, says to us that we need to give our bodies to God. So it's no longer sacrifices, animal sacrifices, or grains. What do we give to God? What sacrifice do we give to God? The Apostle Paul says in the New Testament, we give our bodies as an act of worship, and God is pleased with that. How do we do this on an everyday basis? God, here is my tongue. Use it for your glory. Here are my fingers and my hand. Use it for your glory. Here are my feet. Use it for your glory. Here's my heart. Use it for your glory. So every day, a Christian, as Christians, we need to be like Abel, where we worship God with our bodies. We must. We should. But if you notice very carefully, he shares with us about Abel, and he transitions from Abel to Enoch. So Abel exemplifies worshiping by faith, and Enoch exemplifies walking by faith or in faith. Do you see it? One worships, and then we find with Enoch, there is a sense of walking, practically walking, living for God. Oh, friends, I need you to observe this here and see exactly what he's doing. That faith and works must accompany one another. As a matter of fact, faith produces works. And when you notice in this text, in Hebrews chapter 11, he talks about the faith of the men and women here, but he shows us the work, what faith produces. Faith produces work. And you must see this. I need you to get this. The doctrine of faith, the belief of faith, and works altogether. Come in closer, don't miss this. We must understand it like the two chemicals used in salt. The two ingredients used in salt. So when we think about salt, salt is composed of two poisons, sodium and chlorine. If you ingest either one of these things by itself, you will die. But when you put those two things together, what do you have? You have sodium chloride, which is basically common salt that enhances your food. So together, those two poisons become something amazing. The same thing with faith and works. Coming closer. If we just take faith and there's no works, it's dead faith. That's a deadly faith that will never lead you to heaven. If you take works by itself and no faith, that's dead works. You can do all the moral things, but you don't have faith in God, you will still end up in hell. That's why by itself they are deadly, but together they are something beautiful. And this is exactly what the author of Hebrews wants you to see. His message here is the same as James. Faith without works is dead. In the Old Testament, God never intended for someone to come to know him only through works. And I've heard New Testament saints say this often. In the Old Testament, God saved them through works. But in the New Testament, God is saving us through faith. No. Are you reading the same Bible I'm reading? We are saved through faith in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And that faith produces works in our life. Friends, it is important to note, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Write this down. Pay close attention to this and come in closer. God never intended works as a way for men to come to him. Works is the result of salvation, not the way of salvation. On the one side, faith that does not produce works is dead faith. On the other side, faith by itself is demon faith. You get it? If you just believe and there's no works, the Bible calls it demon faith. That's what James calls it. Even the devil believes and have faith. They believe that God exists. But they're not saved. That's demon faith. So with that said, this morning I want us to examine the faith of Enoch in this passage of Scripture. I want you to see two elements concerning Enoch's faith. One, Enoch walked with God. What does it mean that he walked with God? We will explore that. Two, Enoch believed in God. And the author of Hebrews tells us exactly what he believed in, that God exists. What does it mean? Is this just demon faith? I just have to believe that God's in heaven and I'll make it to heaven. There's so many people, especially people in America, who believe that God exists. Does it mean they're making it to heaven? Is this what the author of Hebrews is saying? I don't want to spoil it for you. That's not what he's saying. We'll dive a little deeper into it. At the same time, he tells us here that God is one who rewards those who seek him. Belief in God and walking with God are but opposites of the same coin. Same coin, two sides. Belief, walking. Belief, faith, works. Faith, works. Same coin, two sides. And this is exactly what he's doing here. So this morning, brothers and sisters, I pray that you are engaged. Please do not be distracted. Grab your Bibles as we dive deeply into the Word of God and trust the Spirit of God to speak to your hearts. With my passion, with my words, with my excitement, I cannot do anything to your hearts. It's the Spirit of God that brings transformation, so you must listen to pray. Pray and ask the Spirit to reveal any deficiencies in your heart. And maybe there is no faith that God will reveal that. Maybe there is dead faith or dead works that God will reveal that. You know what's deadly about dead faith and dead works? Is that you're doing it so much that you think it's the real thing. And it's hard for someone to convince you it's not. But God can. So if there's dead faith and dead works, pray that God will reveal that. If there is true, genuine, saving faith and true, genuine works that accompanies it, then pray that God will continue to move in your hearts, right? We all must make a decision with the word that we are listening and receiving this morning. Do something with it. Do not sit and say, okay, that's good. No, we must act and respond. So respond to the word of God. With that said, point number one, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Who is Enoch? Enoch was one of those who live in the antediluvian time. And antediluvians are basically the people who lived before the flood. There are certain characteristics about those people. One in particular, they lived a very long time. And Enoch lived a very long time. As a matter of fact, according to scripture, he lived 365 years. And still, that was shorter than many of the antediluvians mentioned in the book of Genesis. Three centuries, over three and a half centuries, here is this man who lived upon this earth. As a matter of fact, Enoch is mentioned in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 21 through verse 24. 51 words in English to describe Enoch. That's it. That's it. But those 51 words are incredible words to describe a man of faith that accompanied works. A man of faith who walked with God. A man of faith who loved God and pursued the things of God. So Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Let's read it together. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah. 300 years had others, sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. What an amazing passage of scripture. Here is a man who lived 365 years, but the text says he walked with God, number one, and that God took him. God took him. Jude tells us a little bit more about Enoch, and Jude says to us that Enoch was a prophet. In Jude 14 and 15, he says, it was also about these that Enoch, the seventh of from Adam, prophesied. He was a prophet who prophesied the word of God, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds and ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh thing that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch had great character. A man with immense character, immense age, great character. But what we notice here is, according to Genesis 5:24, it says, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. The word took here is the English word translated, and this is basically a better word here. So when you look at the word translated, it basically means to change a form or condition or nature. So God taking Enoch would be very equivalent to our glorification. That God transformed him. That God removed the sin nature. That God changed his form. That God changed his condition as he is with God forever. This is the beautiful passage here that we have. He walked with God and God took him. That God brought him to be with him. The only other passage of scripture that we have of someone that happening to someone is Elijah. I don't know if you remember specifically in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, that Elijah, a man who pursued God, righteous, great character, that God took him in a whirlwind and brought him to heaven, to where God was. Genesis 5 reads, and this is what it basically mentions, and then he died. Then he was no more because God took him. And then the author of Hebrews explains that even better for us. This is what it mentions here in 11 verse 5. For faith, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. He did not die physically. And he was not found because God had taken him. Where did God take Enoch? God took Enoch to be in his presence. Wherever God was in heaven, Enoch was with God. So friends, notice with me very carefully and seeing your own Bibles in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5, the word walk is not mentioned, but the word please is mentioned. It does not say that Enoch walked with God in Hebrews 11. Rather, it says, Enoch pleased God. And there's a reason why. It's because of the Septuagint. The Old Testament text, the original text, uses the word walk. However, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, translate that word walk to please. In other words, walking with God is pleasing God. Do you get it? Walking with God is pleasing God. When we think about the word walk, we think about multiple things. Unity, together. When someone walked together with his wife, he grabs his wife's hand, this man, this husband, and they walk together. They agree on several things. Don't miss this, because this is important spiritually as well. If they're walking together, they must agree on the place that they're going, the destination. If they're walking together, they must agree on the path that they will take. It makes no sense for one to go on this path and the other to go on this path and they're still holding their hands. This is not go-go gadget, right? Inspector Gadget. It won't work. You need to be right next to each other and walk together. You must walk on the same path. But here's another cool thing that you must understand. The place must be the same, which is a destination, right? The path must be the same. And finally, the pace must be the same. We walk together at the same pace. It's ridiculous to see a husband and wife walk, and the husband is all the way in the front, the wife is all the way in the back. Can't hold hands if you're doing that. It's weird. You hold hands and you walk together at the same pace. When you think about it spiritually, the same thing with God. When it mentions that Enoch walked with God towards the same place, same destination. Enoch lived his life such a great man who loved God so much that his mind was set on the things above, like the Apostle Paul mentioned in the book of Colossians. This was Enoch's disposition. Although he lived on this earth, he set his mind on things above. So his destination was heaven. His path was the Word of God. He never deviated from the Word of God. He was not a perfect man. He sinned like all of us. But he was a man who delighted in the things of God, the law of God, the path of God. That's why in the book of Psalms it says that God will, his word will light up our path. That's the beautiful thing here, and that's exactly what Enoch understood. But the pace as well was important. Whenever God moved, Enoch moved. Whenever God stopped, Enoch stopped. Wherever God went, Enoch went. This is the beauty here in the passage of Scripture when it says that Enoch walked with God, a mutual agreement of the soul. So can I ask you this question? Are you walking with God? Is your destination heaven, or are you living for this earth? Are you walking with God? Is your path the Word of God or the things of this world? You're more consumed with receiving what the world says about you rather than the Word, what the Word says about you. What about your pace? Are you saying, God, you're too slow? I can do this, God. You're too slow. I can take care of this. I can do this, God. No, we must wait on God. This is what it means that Enoch walked with God, and it pleased God. When you think about the word walk, it's mentioned throughout the New Testament, and it gives us a picture of faithful living. Faithful living. Think with me of several passages of Scripture that talks about this faithful living. For example, in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." See, faithful living. Another passage of Scripture is in Galatians 5:16. "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." Faithfully live in the Spirit. And I love what Galatians 5:25 says. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You get it? The pace of God. The Spirit is walking with us, and we keep in step with the Spirit. This is what Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 mentions. So, friends, walk faithfully. Live for God like Enoch lived for God. He walked with God, and that was pleasing to God. How is your walk? How is your walk? We'll turn to Jesus right now and watch what he will do in your life. I love what John MacArthur mentions here. John MacArthur states, like Enoch, every believer should walk with God every day he is on the earth. When we get to heaven, we will walk with him forever. You know why you walk with him on this earth? Because in heaven, you will walk with him forever. So walk. Live for Jesus, right? The next point here is simple. He transitions from Enoch's walk with God to now Enoch's faith in God. Enoch believed in God. Notice in your own Bibles here what he mentions. What he mentions here in verse 5, he says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commanded as having pleased God. And notice in verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. Stop. You need to understand what the author is saying here. The author is not saying without faith, it is difficult to please God. Is that what he said? Audience participation. Without faith, it is difficult to please God. Audience participation. No, he didn't say that. All right, did he say, without faith, it is extra hard, or we must work extra hard to please God? No. What did he say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must get this in our minds, because for some reason, we read Scripture, and we're like, oh God, you didn't mean that. I can still please you without faith because you're a good God. No, God is saying to us, you cannot please him without faith. Live in faith. Save in faith. Absolutely nothing can bring us to God without faith. Religion cannot bring you to God without faith. So, for example, if you're a member here and you're not saved, and you die and you go to God and you say, God, I was a Baptist. I was a member at First Baptist Church of Thibodeau. God's going to look at you and say, it does not matter. Religion is not what's going to save you. Faith in me. Do you know my son? Have you been regenerated? Are you justified by the blood of Jesus Christ? And God looks down upon you. He sees the imputed righteousness of Jesus. That's what God wants to see. Religion cannot save you. It cannot. Even having the right belief cannot save you. As important as that is, right? It's important to have the right belief. So some people can quote Scripture and quote right doctrines, but still be so far from God. What can save you? Faith. God grants you. He gives you the gift of faith to believe in him, to repent, and to live for him. This is what saves us. And this is what God is pleased by. God is tremendously pleased with faith, saving faith. But notice very carefully what he mentions here. Don't miss this. He tells us two things here. One, he says to us that we must believe that he exists. And two, that he rewards those. And I took the King James translation here. And there's a reason why. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. This is important, right? So notice the first one, that we must believe that God exists. Is he saying here, all we need is a head knowledge that God exists? We know he's not saying that because the Bible altogether goes against that. James says, even the demons believe that God exists and they tremble. That's demon faith. So what is he saying here to believe that God exists? What he's saying here is to know God personally. Know him intimately. Know him as creator. Know him as God of the Bible. Know him as Enoch knew him. Again, the whole point here is to show you the faith of Enoch. And Enoch didn't have a faith that just like, oh, I believe God is up there. No. Enoch walked with God. He had a personal, intimate relationship with God. One of the smartest men ever lived on this earth was Albert Einstein. And I read this quote by Albert Einstein. And notice very carefully. Part of it is really true, and the other part is not. Notice what it says. Certainly, there is a God. Any man who doesn't believe in the cosmic force is a fool. You're right. But then he messed the quote up by the next thing he says. But we could never know him. Huh. That's when Christianity says to Albert Einstein, yes, you can. That's when the Bible tells Albert Einstein, yes, you can. Through Jesus Christ, you can know this God. You can enter into relationship with him and know him personally. So again, when he says that you believe that he exists, it's not just a hidden knowledge, but an intimate relationship with God. You believe he created this world. You believe of his supernatural powers. You believe that he sent his son to deliver us from our sins. You believe that he has given us faith and salvation. Do you get it? He exists. I believe and know him intimately. Intimately. But what else must we understand here? Finally, he tells us the next thing. He says he rewards those who diligently seek him. Now, in the ESV, it doesn't use the word diligently, but the King James uses the word diligently, right? The Living Translation uses the word sincere, and also you have the NIV uses the word earnestly. In the original language, it gives you a picture of one who carefully seeks. It's not just one who just seeks, just like that, whatever, but one who is seeking diligently. Let me give you a perfect example of it. It's when you ask your husband to go and find something in your purse, ladies, and he comes back and he says, I can't find it. The first thing that comes to your mind is you did not diligently seek. You did not. And then you go to your purse, look for 1 second, and here it is. Did you look? And the husband tells you, yes, I've been looking for hours. No, you have not. That's not diligently seeking. But diligently seeking would be taking that purse, pouring everything out, and looking for what you are seeking. This is the picture here. It's not just going and seeking, but diligently seeking the things of God, studying the Word of God, pursuing the things of God, searching for the wisdom of God. This is what he's talking about here. It's not a sense of being lazy, but being proactive. That we diligently seek. What I like about this passage of Scripture is what it mentions here. See for yourself in verse 6. I want to read this one more time so you can see it. In verse 6, he says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So here the text tells us that we must draw near to God, right? Notice very carefully. The book of James tells us that we actually can do that. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Hebrews chapter 6 then answers the next question. Well, how can we do that? And it says you can do that with faith in Jesus, faith in God. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9 answers the next question. What is the reward? So I can draw near to God. I draw near to God with faith, by faith. And now when I do that, what's the reward? If I diligently seek Him. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord go to and through the entire earth, looking to show Himself strongly on behalf of those who diligently seek Him." Here's the answer. What's the reward? The reward is simple. It is God. The greatest gift is God. Every day in our lives, as we diligently seek God, God gives us Himself. He gives us His presence. This is the gift that we should say, amen, amen, and amen. What is the reward here? It is simple. Friends, it is God. And with God, what do you get? You get peace. You get mercy. You get grace. You know what's amazing is, yesterday we went to my sister-in-law. Her father passed away, 55 years old. 55 years old. She just had a little baby, 6 months old. Can you imagine losing your father? He's 55. He had cancer and was in remission, and he had a heart attack, had no clue exactly what killed him, but nevertheless, he died. So the entire family went to the funeral. And after the funeral, my sister-in-law had to address the entire family. And she said, "I am okay. I will be okay. I had my daddy. I have my kids. He met my kids. I will be okay." And I thought to myself, how can you be okay? The only way you can be okay is with Christ. The only way you can be okay, the only way she can say that, "I am okay," is because she's okay with what God is doing in her heart. God has given her peace to be able to make that statement. And I think to myself, you know, what can I do? What will I do if my wife passes away, my children passes away? What will I say when my mother and my father passes away? What will I say? And I can't say it's okay, because of the peace that God brings. And for some of you, what can you do and say, even if you have cancer, as a Christian, can you say it's okay? Yes, you can. When you face death, can you say it's okay? Yes, you can. Because the reward is God. Seek Him. And with God, God will give you the peace to say it's okay. This is a great application here. The great application here is to know that this great reward is the presence of God. Was that not the reward that Enoch received? What happened to Enoch? 365 years, and God took him. That's the reward, being with God. And today, we can experience the power and presence of God every single day. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful. We are thankful for Your power and strength in us. And we can say we are okay when we face trials and difficulties. We can say it's okay. Why? Because God is with us, giving us the peace that we need. So God, I pray that we don't think that our greatest reward is just the gifts that You can give us, materialistic things that You can give us. No, the greatest gift is Your presence. This is exactly what You told Martha when Martha says, "Lord, command my sister, God, to work." And You say, "No, Martha, You've chosen what is wrong, but Mary has chosen what is right, the good portion, the one thing that matters. And that is to be at the feet of Christ, to absorb and learn from Christ, to be with the presence of Christ." So God, I pray that we see that the greatest reward is You, Father. Not our bank account, not even our health. It is You. So let us seek diligently. In Your mighty and precious name, amen, amen, amen.